And joining us on the phone this morning from way up in Alaska is our own Lonnie Dupree. Good morning, Lonnie.
Good morning, Jay. How are you?
Fine. It's the middle of the night in Talkeetna.
Well, it's 4:30 or 4:45 anyway.
Oh.
In the morning.
Oh, well, that's the heck. We've been up forever here. Hey, listen, Lonnie. Lonnie, good to have you back and good to have you back safe.
Yeah, it feels good to be back down, and I'm looking forward to getting to Grand Marais in the next week or so. And the project, the project went according to plan, and it's just it's really all about weather on Denali. And when you got that window, you can make it to the summit, and when you don't, you don't. So. But things went pretty good. It was tough in the beginning because I had two back-to-back very heavy snowfalls, and so I got pinned down on the upper part of the Kahiltna Glacier there for a few days, and I struggled on those days just keeping unburied out of that snow. So I was doing a lot of shoveling in the middle of the night and just trying to keep oxygen, a good route of oxygen supplied to my snow cave there. So I was pretty tired after a couple of days of just being up all night and shoveling.
Well, tell me about
that back a little bit.
Tell me when you were at that 17,200. You had some bad weather. You couldn't really build a snow cave. Is that right? And couldn't keep warm.
Well, what happened is I was pretty run down from earlier on the trip, and I ended up I ended up ascending to 17,000 feet a little bit too quick, and I ended up getting a little bit of edema in my lungs where I had some fluid build up, and so I was fighting that a little bit. And when you go up to 17,000 feet, you can't take everything that you have down at 14,000 feet with you. You have to pare things down. So I took a smaller sleeping bag with, which typically would be warm enough because when you're at 17,000, you sleep in all your warm clothes inside your lighter sleeping bag and to be ready to go to the summit. But I just remained chilled, and because I got in there, when I got up there, I built this snow cave, and it's not really snow up there; it's ice, and you have to dig out a spot to sleep out of the ice. So it's very hard work, especially in thin air, and you're tired. So I didn't get up to 17,000 till 8 o'clock at night. So I've already been traveling down the West Buttress Ridge for about 3 hours in the dark. Got to 17, began digging. Didn't get my snow cave done until 10:30. So I was pretty exhausted, and my snow cave wasn't tight enough. I put snow blocks over the entrance of the snow cave, but the snow, or basically the ice, is so dry that I couldn't fill in the cracks of my snow blocks, so the wind ended up entering my snow cave. So I ended up shivering most of that night and most of the second night to try, and it was very, very difficult. So when a window came to go to the summit, I was too exhausted to go, but that window that we had, which was supposed to be about 18 hours long, ended up turning in to be about just 6 hours long. And the wind blew in excess of 70 miles an hour up above me. So it's a good thing I didn't go anyway. So I ended up making the decision to come back down because I just didn't have the strength to carry on. And as you know, you can't spend too many days up at 17, and you become very weak. So,
well, it sounds.
And I was running out of January, which was my purpose.
Which was your purpose.
So we didn't get started until the 7th of January. Mm-hmm. So all in all, I learned a lot, and then I managed to get back down safely and just a little minor frostbite on the tips of my fingers, and just got out of there. And so learned a lot, do a few things different if I ever try it again. And then
yeah, I wanted to talk to you about that, Lonnie. I've got this quote from your website. It says, "The mountain's always there. You never know. Maybe 4 or 5 years down the road, I'll give it another try. When I'm a little wiser, it's always going to be there." Now, Lonnie, is that a threat? Is that a promise? Or is that a firm maybe?
Oh, you know what? I've learned never to say never. You know, it's amazing how quick you forget about the hardships, you know?
Lonnie, you and I are going to have a talk when you get back.
I know.
You're fraying my nerves down here.
I got some family members that are probably going to want to talk to me as well. But
well, it sounds to me like this documentary that you're working on, Cold Love, is certainly appropriate for what you went through. Yeah. So before I let you go, what are your thoughts now? You know, I know we'll talk more about it in the future. But the whole climate change thing, what are you learning?
Well, the climate change, I've been working on climate change since 2003. And, you know, this extreme climate that we've been getting around the globe is just going to keep accelerating, because there's more and more CO2 gets pushed in the air every single day. Like, I think 90 million tons of CO2 gets put in the air every day. And, you know, CO2 has a lifespan of about 100 years in the atmosphere. So we need to do something about the burning of fossil fuels, and mainly coal, you know, because coal represents 20% of, it's probably the largest contributor to climate change, is the burning of coal-fired power plants. And that not only puts CO2 in the air, but it has a lot of particulate that are hazardous to people's health and creates asthma and so on and so forth. So if we can just get our heads around the elimination of coal-fired power plants, that'd be a big step towards solving climate change.
Well, listen, Lonnie, we're going to let you have your breakfast or whatever and rest up a little bit, and look forward to seeing you when you get back. And we will talk again, hopefully on the air. And again, thanks for a great try, and thanks for keeping in touch. And thanks to your team for really having a very good, informative, and up-to-date website. You guys did a great job. We'll talk with you when you get back.
Thanks so much, Jay, and good morning.